sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears.
Father, indeed, we pray that our lives, Lord, will be a symphony. A harmonious, sweet sound. Every one of us bringing forth, Lord, music of love that will be well pleasing in your ears, directed by the Holy Spirit, so that you will take pleasure and find pleasure in our lives, and you will come and tabernacle in our midst. We honor you and we thank you for your great presence in this place. Thank you for visiting us. Thank you for our fathers, under whose covering we enjoy this special presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So, fathers, go into your word this afternoon. Lord, I lift up my eyes unto you, from whence cometh my help. Have mercy on me. Help me, O God, as you anoint me afresh, my heart and my lips, so that, Lord, I will speak as an oracle of God. And your word will flow out of me, Lord, in purity, in clarity, Lord, in power, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in our hearts and lives, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated, Lord, with revelation from the Holy Spirit, our emotions further controlled and subdued by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that, Lord, more of you and less of us, that indeed, Lord God, you will increase and help us to be doers of the things that we learn, bringing forth fruit that is well-pleasing in your sight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, let blind eyes be opened. Lord God, Lord, give us understanding so we can stand in our place. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let the lame leap as a heart, so we can do the things that hitherto are impossible for us to do. Let healings and deliverances, Lord, wholesomeness and refreshing, come to your people, because you are here in this place. Lord, as I come to pray, Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to redeem the time, to be concise, to be precise. Holy Spirit, I yield my faculties over unto you. Come and use me, Lord, Lord, to glorify Jesus and to honor my fathers and be a blessing to my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So go into the word this afternoon once again. It's a great honor for me to honor my, give honor to whom honor is due. My fathers, pastor and mommy, whose prayers are solidly upholding me and upholding us all. Amen. They are beholding our order in the spirit realm. And we thank God for the privilege to have fathers as these, who lay an excellent example, not loving their lives unto the death, and encouraging us to also follow within the veil, so that we can be inheritors of the promises that God has made to us, even to fulfill all that he has spoken concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, Abraham's seed. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy. We love and really deeply appreciate you and all you are and all you do for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message this afternoon is Laying Hold on His Glory. God wants us to lay hold on His glory. It's not something that is new, but it's something that God wants us to do deliberately and intentionally. It's not just going to happen because of the church we belong to, or because we know how to pray. There is specific instructions that God wants us to do. And we really can't do it outside of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what God is saying, to that we need to lay hold on His glory. And God will help us to do that in Jesus' name. We start with Proverbs 29, verse 21. And we were in prayers yesterday, and Pastor William was quoting, and my spirit level said, "What went you out to see?" Bible says, they that live delicately, they dwell in princes' houses or the palaces. No, what did you go to see? And let's read it. It says, "He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length." It's one of those cryptic scriptures that used to baffle me as a younger Christian. What is he really saying? And some interpretations, it means, in some of the interpretations in the Bible, the scripture has manifold interpretation. It's interpreted to mean that if you spoil your servant, after a while, they'll be asking for an inheritance as sons. But that's not really what it's saying to us by the Holy Spirit today. Delicately bringeth up his servant from a child, shall have him become his son at the length. So there is a length of time that is involved to translate a servant into a son. That's what God is saying. And God is the original Father. And He's talking to all of us. Parents, fathers and mothers, we must delicately bring up our children so that we can have them become sons at the length. At the time that they should be, they will become sons in Jesus' name. John 8, 34 to 35. Let's look at that very quickly. When he says servant, he's talking about somebody who's controlled or dominated by the sin nature. Jesus answered them. Let's read together. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." So servant there is talking about somebody who is committing sin, is dominated by the sin nature. Remember that we have the divine nature if we are born again in our spirits. But the sin nature, residual sin nature, is in our souls and our bodies. Now many times, if we're not careful, it can dominate us so that the divine nature on the inside does not show on the outside. But it should show, as the Bible calls it, the hidden man of the heart. It should not be hidden, it should be obvious. Okay, verse 35 now goes on to tell us, next verse, about the Son. John 8, 35. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." God wants you and I to transform from servants into sons. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Please give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. We need to move quickly. "Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave to sin. Although he is the master of all the estate, but is under guardians and administrators or trustees until the date fixed by his father." We'll be ready by the date the Father fixes in Jesus' name. Amen. So God puts us in the church. God puts His church under trustees. They are apostolic and prophetic guardians and administrators. He didn't leave the church comfortless. Under the lordship of the Holy Spirit, you know, that prepare the church. When he says delicately, the word delicately, you know, it has many meanings. But when I looked through it, this is what I saw. Delicately means sensitively. It means precisely. It means tactfully, which talks about wisdom. It means tenderly, delicately. So it means that in this season of the Feast of Tabernacles, God is raising up spiritually sensitive and mature sons who will be considered eligible to inherit the glory. He's raising up spiritually sense. That sensitivity is there delicately. So you must not just know the principles of the Word of God. You must also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The science and the art in God must be complete. So that these sons will arise in the church as a result of wise and precise spiritual upbringing. So there is an upbringing we must give our children. It's not enough just to pay the bills. It's not enough to send them to school. We need to give them wise and precise spiritual upbringing that we ourselves have imbibed, so that our children will not just be secularly successful, they will be a spiritual success. They will understand God and the ways of God. They will know the times and the seasons of God. They will love the Lord their God with all of their heart. And they will be willing to serve Him. They will not be ashamed to serve Him. They will be able to wear their God, like mommy says, wear their God boldly where everybody can see and not hide Him under. Because they're going to be greater than us. Oh yeah, Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. So we have to prepare them. They don't know who they are, and they look at people around and think that that's how they are. We must let them know through delicate, through wise and precise teaching who they really are. Here a little, there a little. So that the children can begin to see themselves in the scripture. And their Bible reading stops being a routine. So I can tell mommy and daddy, and it starts there. I can tell mommy and daddy that I've done it. Okay, you've done it. Very good. But now they begin to see themselves in the scripture. They begin to see God talk to them directly. That's what He talks about delicately. So it's not just anyhow. There is a skill that is required to do this. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. So that spiritual upbringing essentially empties the children, their soul and their body now, or ourselves, of the sin nature. So the spiritually sensitive and mature sons are a product of wise and precise spiritual upbringing that empties their soul and body of the sin nature. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, 4 and 4 to 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth who? When? In the fullness of time. This is for the first son. The second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Made of a woman, made under the law. We are also going to be made of a woman, the church. We are also going to be made under the law. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We are also then going to become, he will send us forth as His sons. Made of the next verse. Thank you. To redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. So it happened to one son. That son is bringing many sons, and those many sons are going to bring many, many, many other sons, particularly their own seed. Amen. All right. And that's why the Bible says we train up a child in the way he should go. So there's a training involved. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Because he's already become one with the training. That's the level of. And then Ephesians 5, 26, 27 says that he might cleanse, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So when we go to church, that's what we're learning. We're learning how to sanctify and cleanse ourselves with the washing of water by the word, so that the Lord Jesus, next verse, thank you, can present us to Himself a what? Glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what God is doing. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Verse 12. Thank you. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. It's not enough to reprove. We must reprove wisely. So he's talking about a wise, spirit-led correction upon a willing and obedient heart. That is how gold Christians are formed. They are the product of reproving and correction and correction, because they are learning God's ways. You know, their ways are far from God's ways. So to learn God's ways, he has to correct your ways and correct, and you must not be tired of this. Because if you look at the end of it, he's giving us a great privilege to share his nature, share his character, share everything that he has. He doesn't have to do that. So it's important to understand what God is doing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, these are men of God are formed. Flee these things. It's talking about pride and envy and all that. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Next verse. Fight the good fight of faith. And what? Lay hold on eternal life. What does it mean by lay hold on eternal life? Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I thought I had eternal life. Yes, you do. But for that eternal life to be pumped, for that eternal life to move from our spirit into our soul and remain there permanently, there has to be a fight. In our pursuit of righteousness and godliness and faith and patience, we have to fight. And it's a good fight because we've already won. Lord Jesus has won. He's poured principalities and powers. He's taken the keys of death and hell. And he has given and delivered it unto us to use with our mouth. But we must learn to use it skillfully, so that we can lay hold on eternal life, whereunto we have been called, to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So we see, therefore, that our spiritual education is extremely important. While we have a secular education, we must have a spiritual education. Our children must have a spiritual education. Our spouses must have a spiritual education. Everybody under your covering that God brings to you must be impacted by your education, that by the spirituality that you have. Not that you will teach them, you will teach them by your conduct. And inspire, just like our parents, you know, inspire us, you know, to learn and ask questions. Apart from teaching, we see the example, we see the way they live their lives, their manner of life. And it's amazing to us that the human beings can do this, and it challenges us to do more. And that's how to do it. Okay, so we see that spiritual education must involve two things. It must involve the early rain and the latter rain. Look at James chapter 5 verse 7. James chapter 5. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience, time for it, until you receive the early and the latter rain. Now, in this season of tabernacles, God is giving us both. The early rain is the foundational doctrine that softens the ground so that the seed of the word of God can be planted. Seed of perfection. So that is the, no, God gives us that. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. You know, when we're not, you can just show that, but we're not going to read it. But it's just telling us that there are foundational principles of faith towards God, repentance from dead works, of baptisms, of judgment and the resurrection. You must have a foundation in those principles, in those doctrines, and be found faithful in that. Now, when God comes to check and find out that we are faithful, then he gives us a permit to move on to the next level, the latter rain. Now, that latter rain is the rain that comes to ripen the fruit that the husbandman is waiting for. So, one allows the seed to be sown in our hearts So that is the foundation, so that we can now receive the doctrine, the seed of the word of God unto perfection. And then the other is to ripen it, is to purge it. Bible says he purges every son that he receives. Is to purge it, is to remove little. To you is little, but to God it's so glaring. Impurities and infirmities, until he reproduces exactly himself in you and I. That's what God is doing. And if you look at thank you, Holy Spirit. So it involves a fight. That fight there is our effectual and fervent prayer life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your prayer life is not something we do. It's something we are. It is what is going to allow you and I to transform with the word of God that we hear. Our prayer life will transform us from egg or spiritual babies, to larva, the caterpillar, to the pupa stage before the butterfly comes out. That powerful illustration that Pastor always teaches us and reminds us of is a metamorphosis, is a transformation with the renewing of the mind through the word of God and the transformation of the soul and the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. God brings forth sons made under the law. That is what God is talking about to us, brethren. And then he appears to us in glory. And because of the Olympics that we've been watching all these days, it occurred to me. I saw there was a lady, I'm not really going to mention her name because on this pulpit, we've learned not to mention names. But, she did something that I found absolutely remarkable. Everybody did. She's a distance runner. She runs 1,500, 5,000 meters, and 10,000 meters. Okay? And she was running the 1,500 meters. She was in the finals. And she's expected to win gold in all three. In the end, she ended up with 2 gold and 1 bronze. Okay? But she did very well. Okay? But this is what she did. In the very first race, as we're going to know, the 1,500 meters, they had gone around 3 times. They were going around the last time. And somehow, because they were standing so close together, somebody tripped into somebody and they were falling down. And somebody fell in her path. And she couldn't avoid, she tried to avoid the person, but she couldn't, and she fell down at the back. She got up immediately and continued running and started running from the back on the last leg, and was just packing everybody, and ran on the street. And she was hurt, she was injured, but she ran through the pain and got the gold. I stood up. I said, no, this is something else. And God spoke to me. He said, no athletes need a specific diet. To be able to run like that, they practice for years. They don't eat what you eat. They have a specific diet that they eat. It's delicately prepared. They have a lifestyle that they live by. And they train and train and train and acquire the strength and the skill. The character, because that was character. And the stamina to win gold. So you have on either side. On one side, you have specific diet. Let's say specific diet. Lifestyle. Training. Producing on the other side. Strength or skill. Character. And stamina. Stamina is not the same as it's that thing she did was character, stamina. She put all of her training of 5 years came out in that race. It came out now. You are looking at it just as one race that was over in what? 4 minutes? Less than 4 minutes. It took 5 years for 4 minutes. brethren, we are also being prepared by God. We are also on a specific diet. All you hear is perfection. You hear glory. You hear humility. Purify yourself. Transformation. Consecrate yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12 that the choir read, that script beautiful. What does God desire of you? That you fear Him. That's what you hear. You hear that mainly because that's the emphasis. Of course, you still hear prosperity. You still hear healing. But that's the emphasis because that's the diet that's going to produce the character. That's going to give you the training in the place of prayer. So you pray daily. You pray weekly. Your prayers you attend monthly. You pray, you are praying in season and out of season. And then you learn to pray on your own during the day all the time. It's a training. And you must go through it with a sense of purpose. Because it's going to be tested. She was not expecting to fall down. She was expecting to run the race like everybody else. Nobody goes into a race falling down. When she fell down, she said, forget it. This is not my portion. And got up and started running. Started running. And she wasn't as if she was special or she had extra lungs. The people that were ahead of her, almost 100 meters. And she ran and ran and ran and finished it. She won 10,000 meters. And the 5,000, she tried. But like, you know, after the race, she said, this place is hurting, that place is hurting. It's then that she remembered the pain. But she ran through the pain. Brethren, we also need to obey God through pain. Sometimes it's the quality of the training. Thank God for this house and the fathers that we have and how they train us. We fast every 2 months. We do a 2-day fast, then we do a 3-day fast. It's training. A time will come when there'll be nobody around you. What will you do? Oh, yeah, let me now. I'm free. Does Tuesday remain Tuesday? Or if it's not possible on a Tuesday because of workload, do you move it to another day? Quantity and quality. You cannot say, I pray, but then you reduce the quantity. Something's going to give. There's a balance that we need to have. That's what God is saying. Okay? All right. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Talking about the warfare now. Proverbs 4, 10 to 13. Please give it to me in the Amplified very quickly. And now, Israel, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Next verse. Say amen. You didn't let blessings passing you by like that. I have taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom, which is comprehensive insight into the ways and the purposes of God. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Next verse. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. Your path will be clear and open. And when you run, you will not stumble. In Jesus' name, take firm hold of instruction. That's what you lay hold on. If you don't walk and run, you will not be able to lay hold on the instruction. Some people just touch instruction. Bible says, lay firm hold. So at the slightest opposition, the hand is off. No, get a firmer grip. That's what God is saying. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is thy life. That's what God is saying. Go back to verse 12. So he's telling us that we are required to run. We are required to walk on this path in order to lay hold firmly on instruction. Very important. Isaiah 40 verse 31, Amplified Bible, and our daily remember yesterday, I was just shaking my own hands. I said, God, was praying with your thoughts. Isaiah 40, 31. Let's read it together, brethren. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall what? Change and renew their strength and power. What does that mean? You will change the material with which your soul and your body are made of so that it will now carry more power. It will carry more strength by virtue of the fact that its configuration is changed.
just like Abraham and Sarah experienced a transformation of their physical body, and they now carried seed that now they could, when they came together, they were now able to bring forth a son of promise. We also have a promise that God has given us to bring forth the Son of God in our mortal flesh. But we must run, and we look at this scripture. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings so they fly and mount up where? Close to God. As eagles mount up to the sun. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Now, I can remember years ago when Pastor preached this, I was looking in awe. So I'm only telling you what the fathers have preached. Flying is a type of prayer. Running is a type of prayer. Walking is a type of prayer. So you can understand what God is saying here. So God is saying that if you're looking for the Lord and you're expecting Him, He is going to have to teach you and I how to run, how to fly, how to walk in the realm of the Spirit. So that when Satan attacks, because he is attacking, he attacks with the wind. He attacks with the wind and the rain in the air. So that when you want to be the wind and the air, hopefully they will pull you down. But he has failed. If you stay on the ground, he has sent the flood. So you have to. That's, we are delicately. You have to learn to meander. You know. So when he's doing his own, you just go higher, go an extra notch like that athlete. That's what God is saying. Amen. So what is flying? Flying is praying with travail. Praying with travail. They that wait upon the Lord, no, they shall lift their wings and mount up close. You are in the heavenly places at a constant speed. It's like moving with a jet engine at a constant speed. That is what you liken flying. Now, walking. Let's come down to the very bottom. Walking is praying with your thoughts. And that's where everything starts. The next thing is praying in your understanding. So you pray in your heart, what they call silent prayer. Okay? But it's very powerful. And it's a mixture of all these prayers that we use. You mix and match them all throughout the day. So it's important to understand how to mix and match them so that we can get the desired effect that God wants us to get. So you pray with your thoughts, that's walking. Then praying with the understanding is similar to moving in a car. The car is on the ground, but it's moving faster than somebody who is walking. So one is fast. So the slowest, so to speak, of them all, but it has its place, is praying with your thoughts. Next is praying with your understanding. Then next is praying in tongues, which is running, which is, you can liken it to a plane that is taking off. When the plane is taking off, it runs on the runway. And it starts slowly, acquires the speed of a car, exceeds the speed of a car in order to approach that threshold velocity and take off and lift. That's praying in tongues. But praying in tongues cannot be the same as in travail when you are 36,000 feet and you are moving. You know, there, even if it's raining, there's no big deal. Rain doesn't affect you there. Wind can come, but it's designed to keep you there. Do you understand? Whereas if you are taking off, if the wind is too bad, they'll tell you, oh boy, we're not flying. No. The conductor will tell you that, how many times have we been to the airport, will tell you that the flight is not going again, that the weather has changed. Yes. So he's talking about different types of prayer, brethren. Okay, and it's important for us to understand that we're on a long journey and we need to mix and match those prayers. So Pastor gave a lovely illustration, and I don't think I can find anything better. So I'll just tell you, if you are going from Lagos to London, for example, you know, you're going to do all those things. Number one, we will get out of our house. to get into a car that will take us to the airport, two of us. Okay? So that walking from where you are to your car is praying with our thoughts. Then when we get, the car will take us from where we are to where the airport is. In this case, from Ibadan to Lagos. That is praying with the understanding. When you get to the airport, you come out of the car. You don't stay in the car now and let them bring the plane to you. Has that happened before? Even dignitaries, you can only drive your car to the tarmac. You will still come out. You will walk. So you still pray with your thoughts. And you come out and enter the aeroplane. Now the aeroplane will carry you with other people in that plane and will taxi and then lift, praying in tongues. And then get to that altitude. When you are lifting, everybody, they don't serve food. There's no going to the toilet. No call of nature. Everybody stays strapped in. So there are some things you can achieve during certain types of prayer that you cannot achieve during other types of prayer. So when you now get into that, then the light comes on, boom, you hear that sound, boom, then everybody unclick, just unclick and pull off your seatbelt, and then Miliki Express. Now begin to enjoy whatever it is that is in your mind. You put on your TV, you do all that and all that. Okay? So that's an illustration. The same way when you get to London, the same plane that was in traffic is going to come down. When it comes down, you slow down and slow down and slow down until it hits the ground, praying with tongues. Then it will come to a stop. You will get out and go through customs, immigration, praying with your thoughts. Then you will enter a car that will take you to where you are going. That's praying with understanding. And when you get to the place where you are going, you will come out again and enter the house. Brethren, this illustration is telling us the fact that to move into our destiny in Hebrews 6. Look at it. Hebrews 6. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Next verse. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Next verse. Wherein the foreigner is for us entered, even the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, praying for us, made a high priest for us ever after the order of Melchizedek. What are we saying? Moving from the outer courts into the holiest of all is a journey. And you are going to use praying in tongues, praying with your thoughts, praying in the spirit, praying with travail, a mixture daily to navigate and wind up and lay hold on the hope. That hope, that hope of, and when you lay hold on it, it will stabilize you. You won't be going back and forth anymore. It will stabilize you and after a while draw you. That hope will draw you and draw you. So you draw you from the outer court, bring you to the holy place. You pass all the furniture, the candlestick, the shewbread, the altar of incense, bring you to the holiest of all. And then in that holiest of all, there'll be hidden manna, the Ark of Covenant, until you wind up on the mercy seat. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Okay. An example of this in David trying to bring back the glory using a new card. Now, David did not consult. He didn't do it after due order. Okay? And he knew. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7 to 10. Let's just read that very quickly. Just examples. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Next verse. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. There was so much going on, but it wasn't God's perfect will. Looking in the church now today, you can see so much going on, and it's not God's will at all. And we are coming to the threshing floor, where there's going to be a separation, and it's clear. David loved God, but how he did what he did, how we do what we do, is as important as doing it. It's not because, yeah, he had a good motive. Yes, that's true. But there was something set in the word of God that he should have used. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. That's why I said that you will run and you will not stumble. Okay? So that praying thing wasn't deep enough. So the instruction wasn't fine and clear. And when they came to the threshing floor, next verse. And the anger of the Lord was kindled, and he smote him and put his hand on the ark and died before the Lord. Okay, jump to chapter 15, verse 11 to 13. We see David himself. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, and Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadab, and said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. Next verse. For because ye did not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So there is a skill. There is a way to do it. That's what he's talking about delicately. Okay? It's a way to do it. And then, of course, Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Next verse. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, a herdsman. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, see time, their occupation was irrelevant. Because in the process of time, they had been taught the same thing. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, but not after due order. Next verse. And Abel also, he brought also of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Next verse. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. May God have respect unto our offering in Jesus' name. But that what is God saying? God is saying that we must offer according to due order, as taught us and handed down by spiritual fathers. That's what God is saying. Okay? Why is this important? It's important because God has given us a sure and guaranteed hope. We saw that. Of inheriting the glory. He has sworn and backed it up. That oath backs the promise he has made of the glory. Are you holding on to it firmly or loosely? What kind of grip have you on the hope God has said? What kind of grip? Is your grip on your secular life firmer than your grip on your spiritual life? If there comes a challenge and you have to choose one of the two, which one do you choose? That's what he's saying. These things many times are in the heart. And that's why God is talking, so that we can correct it. Bible says, a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Gold withstands far more pressure than silver and precious stones. Far more. So how far are you willing to go with what God has taught you? That's what God is saying. Okay. And number two, like I mentioned, the enemy has released forces in a strategic manner, you know, to hinder us. Okay. But we will not be held back by the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. We will run, we will not stumble, we will walk, we will not faint. But just to say this, no, when the Bible says run and stumble, look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12. I don't know whether you have the New Living Translation. Do you have that? Proverbs 4. So give it to me in the New Living Translation if you have it. If you don't have it, well, just give it to us in the King James. I'll just read the New. Say, when thou goest, Thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Here it says, when you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. What's he saying? He's saying that, you know, when you run and you're running, athletes, sometimes they put weights on their feet, on their legs, to strengthen their legs and help them go faster when the weights are removed. But in Christianity, if you don't remove the weights and the sins, they will be slowing us down. We'll be held back. That's what he's saying. We'll be held back. May we not be held back in Jesus' name. We'll be held back. You know? So it's important to understand. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 14. Proverbs 12, 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 12, 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit where? Of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Notice that it's not what he says that brings the recompense. It's what he does that brings the recompense. So if he says and he doesn't do, guess what? There's no reward. That's what you get from that. No, there's no reward. And God is trying to tell us that it's important to do. We must do more and more of what we hear, more and more of what we say during confessions and prayers. Okay, so you pray four times a day at every opportunity. How much doing are you doing? That's what God is saying. How much doing? Because if you're not doing as much, when you come to the place of prayer, it used to be holding you back. And you want to go to a higher altitude, but gravity is pulling you down. But we can break it, and we'll break it in Jesus' name. That's what God is saying. All right? So confession is important, but meditation, writes the truth upon our hearts, producing obedience and a reward. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Thank you. Let's read together and say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Thinking is very important. That's coming out of the car, going into the airport, is very critical. You can imagine somebody staying in the airport. He's in London. He's in London. Will he attend the conference? No. He is bound. He has a proper visa, but he's behaving like somebody with a transit visa. Meaning that you can't step out of the airport. He's there because he's not walking. So he's there, but he's not there. He's there, but he's not enjoying the privilege of being there. Some things are hanging in the heavenly places. And they're about to come down. If you just go to the next level of using our thoughts on a consistent basis. That's what God is saying. Amen. So we run to obtain. Meditation is important. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I've shown you confession. I've shown you meditation. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How do you do it? Through the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. So how do we do it? Well, after getting born again and giving your life to Jesus, we begin to develop an honest and humble heart. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It's not something we don't know, but we look at it again because we want to do it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest. So how do you get the rest? The rest is coming from the meekness and the lowliness of heart. Yes, we pray, but what sanctifies the prayer, which is a gift, is the altar, the degree of the honesty and the humility of our hearts. The honesty there, meaning how open you are to receiving instruction. That's honesty. Openness to receiving instruction. And doing it, especially when it's inconvenient, that is humility. That's the fear of God. That is what determines how high you soar. Look at Psalm 108. Just came to my heart now. Verse 4. This is our Bible reading yesterday. For thy mercy is what? Great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Mercy and grace will take you from being earthbound and take you into the heavenly places. Mercy is great above heaven. So it will lift you up to where it is. Truth, which it will put you there in the clouds, soaring high. And you're going to come down. It is the devil will attack this mercy, the honesty that is bringing the mercy, and the humility that is bringing the truth. Amen. So that is important. And when you know, so this way God can lift you up above your mistakes, like he did for David. David made a mistake, but God lifted him up above his mistake. God will lift you above your mistake. As you keep working on the honesty and the humility of your heart, you will rise above your mistake and you stop making that mistake again. And then you will now come to a place where there will be no mistake against you recorded. Like Daniel, like Joseph. No spot, wrinkle, any such thing. Keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's saying. Amen. So that's the first thing, the heart. Next thing, God supernaturally leads us to true spiritual fathers. It's important to honor them and follow them. You can't do this by yourself. That's why he says, you're under trustees, guardians, and administrators. They are under the Holy Spirit. You know, because when the Holy Spirit is talking, many times you don't hear. God speaks once, yea, twice. Man does not perceive. So God puts them in between because they are further down the road. And they can tell you what is in the heart of God. Don't take it personal. Accept it and work on it and move on. Bible says you have not many fathers, though you have 10,000 instructors. 1 Corinthians 4:15, you have not many fathers. Number three, listen to apostolic and prophetic teaching weekly, because you get keys to now open up your daily Bible reading every day. This is the high quality protein diet. This is a diet. If you don't have that apostolic teaching, your Bible reading will be locked. It'll just be carbohydrates. What do you have in the morning? Pap. What do you have in the afternoon? Eba. What do you have in the night? Echo. There's no protein. The meat of it, the key to unlock it, is coming from fathers. So that's how you unlock it and you get the high quality diet. Remember, it's diet and you need to eat it. Then number four is the training. Prayer. And we start with praying with travail. You just join Good Morning Jesus at 5 a.m. in the morning on Zoom using the login codes, you know. That's the 996 84. I can't remember again. My thing just goes automatically. But it was that I knew it by heart because it was misbehaving, so I knew it by heart. It just moved automatically, so I do manual. Bah, 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 and I'm in. Okay. But training us to fly is travail. So you now begin to, during prayers, they will make the prayer point and tie it up legally and sew it up, and everything is legal, nothing falls, everything is covered. And you now pray, and you now pray for 5 minutes. That 5 minutes, you know, some people are carrying you. The mother eagle is carrying you and teaching you to fly. So you only fly for 5 minutes and go, I like that. And they come down, and then they'll be talking again. And listen to what they are saying, don't say they are talking again. You know what I say? I'm saying, amen, agree, yes. And then give thanks at the end. But when you have finished that, God will now start asking you to fly on your own. now have to fly on your own. That's why the training was there, to give you the training, so that when you now come on your own, you know, I can't forget, you know, when I was a house officer, when I was a house officer, you know, 89, 90, house officer's routine is very, very busy. You wake up very early in the morning, you're there before the ogres, you know, because you are the baby doctor. Everybody looking at you high, but you are very low. In real terms, you are the lowest. They can do you anyhow. That's the truth, though. It's only outside that you have a reputation. Inside, you are house boy and house girl. So they use us like that, you know, and that's the norm, because that's the only way you're going to learn. It's training. So I can remember, so we go to work, you're very tired. I know people like us that we're praying, you know, I pray, I won't eat before I pray, you know, I go to work. Sometimes, you know, the work goes on. Some units, forget about it. That's surgery. Wow, man, I don't think this is the place for me. I could just tell. You're going to die spiritually. I can't operate here. I really can't operate here. From morning to night, ward round at 6:30, right up to 8 o'clock in the night, and you're on call. So one of those days, I just got to the ward, and there was this nurse on the ward. And as I entered the ward, young lady, you know, and as I entered the ward, you know, and all that, I was writing what I wanted to write for the patient. I just looked up, and my eyes saw her looking at me. After her eyes, I was looking at her. Brethren, hey, I knew I was under attack. And some people are thinking it's chemistry. It's not a chemistry, called biology. It's the devil. Synchronizing. How can you look up and you are looking up at the same time with somebody and your eyes are becoming four? That one is being satanically inspired. Operated. Bros, you know what I did? I ran back to my room. I didn't walk home. I ran. I knelt on my knees and I prayed 1 hour. Yes, so I dosed myself with the life of God. And I now went back to the office. I need to. But I went and I went back to the world to finish my work. And I found that thing has gone. But that's how we are supposed to do. It just came to me now. That's how I'm supposed to do. Because the devil will come and test you. I'm hungry. She's not bad. Bros. You're already falling. So we're talking about practice. So training. So now there's nobody there. But I had to do it by myself because my life, I could see there was the adulteress hunts for the precious life. It's not attraction. It's the devil. It's temptation. All right? So the training has many parts. So that's travail. You know, that's training us to fly. Then, number five, watching and praying 4 times a day. No, you do that. Watching and praying 4 times a day. You know, making confessions, praying in tongues. That's training us to run. Because, you know, you make a confession. You know, I choose to fear God. So I humble myself. You're praying. You're in a car. Then you pray in the spirit. You know, you are running. You know, you are mixing the two together. Okay? So you do that. Making confession and praying in tongues. Training to run. At every opportunity, you know. We now move to the next level. At every opportunity, because that's just 4 times a day. At every opportunity that we now receive mercy. Thank you, Father, for mercy. You know, with thanksgiving, to be faithful, to walk in love, to walk in obedience. So you do that at every opportunity with thanksgiving. It's training to walk and run. Because you are saying it, and you are thinking it, and you are praying in tongues. So, you are moving, you know, using both together. Then you use any opportunity you have to think on scriptures that help us improve in certain areas. No, there's some areas that you know that Satan, when he comes, he always disturbs me in this area. So I need to deal with him. So you have some scriptures, you hide them in your heart. We're talking about being proactive now, not defensive. It's not that a temptation came. It did not come. This is a weak area I'm trying to strengthen. For example, I'm easily offended. When I see this person, I don't know why. Something goes on inside me. I just hate their gods. You have to be honest. Now you have to tell God that's the way it is. But Father, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Have mercy on me. Help me to be gentle. I have to teach forbearing. Lord, help me to forbear. And you pray. So you make the confession. And you pray in tongues. You are running. And you kill it. You mean it's not the first time you do that, you will respond, though. But you keep doing it. You keep doing it. When nothing is happening on the outside. When you next see the person, if you keep doing it enough, you find out that reaction is not there again. Same thing with covetousness. I'm content with what I have. I don't desire. I crucify covetousness in Jesus' name. Pray. Reverence. I esteem very highly all those in authority from me. Look for scriptures in the areas where we're weak so you can meditate on them when your mind is free. The mind should not just be free and free doing nothing. Put the word of God there and pray and build it in. You're writing the law upon your heart. And then when there's temptation, you notice negative thoughts, negative feelings. Once again, thank God for mercy. Thank God, and receive mercy. No, with thanksgiving. No, bind the devil's spirit of immorality, fear, and pray in tongues, And number six, practice love in our daily conduct with consistency. That's the character. So, and if you practice love, which is in our daily conduct, that's the character. You do it with consistency. That's the stamina. So you see, you have the diet, you have the training, you have the character, you have the stamina, and you must understand that these things work together. The praying with travail is what gives you the power to pray in tongues. The praying in tongues is what gives power to pray with your thoughts. So that you can pray with your thoughts. It's possible, brethren, to pray with our thoughts consistently during the day. Holy Spirit will just beep you, it's time to pray. And God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. That we will lay hold on His glory. Let us pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful. Don't condemn yourself. It's a message of encouragement. Your diet. Some of us have not been eating well. Not eating according to instruction. Change it. Feed according to the instructions you have been given. Bible says read. Listen to apostolic and prophetic fathers at least once a week. Meditate on the word. On the lifestyle. Love. The training. Prayer. Both concentrated prayer and then times of prayer that are not concentrated, where you are on your own. And as you do it with consistency, you build stamina. So you can have the character, the skill, the deftness, tactfulness, and the stamina to win gold. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Oh, okay. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Next verse. For no other foundation can For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Next verse. Thank you. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Next verse. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's why we're talking about this today, brethren. I humbly submit to you that we are gold in Jesus' name. Don't look at silver, don't look at precious stones. And this is what it takes. Give yourself to it wholly. WHOLLY. As we pray, let's talk to God. Is there any area where you have held back or you are holding back? Just be honest. Remember, it's the honesty and humility that lifts you up to the clouds. It's not of him that willeth. It's of God that shows mercy. It's by grace. It's not by works. That the promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's mercy and grace. Be honest. Brutally honest. And say, Lord, I'm not letting it hold me back anymore. It has been holding me back, but I don't want it again. Please help me. He will help you. And you will see an immediate change. And then keep practicing to build stamina. Lord, I open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. I now let you into my heart and into my soul. Oh Lord, pledge in my life. Loving you is my desire, Lord, and I will not be holding back at all, responding to your call. Open up, Lord, I open up my heart. I'm ready for your holy fire. Holy fire, I now let you into my heart. Into my soul, my Lord, pledge
in my life.
Pleasing you
is my desire.
And I will not hold them back at all, responding to your call. Lord, I'm pledging.
Pleasing you is my desire,
Lord, and
I will not be holding back.
No.
Responding to your call.
Let's just about right hand. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And you sent to us today to show us that we need to appreciate the call upon our lives. Thank you for the promise that we have to become more like you, to share in your heavenly kingdom for eternity. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for your oath that gives me encouragement and anchors my soul, so under pressure I will not sway. Heavenly Father, I now come to give myself more diligently to the training that you've called me onto. To open up my heart and my mouth to eat the diet that you have given me. Even though it may not be palatable for the flesh, I accept that diet. And I live the lifestyle because I see the gold that you have ahead of me. So that I will bring forth the character, the strength, the skill, and the stamina to lay hold upon the hope of your glory. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. Father, mercy on us. Holy Spirit.
supra kibalia elo mosamento bula mali ure piglai e cromola e che cosciuca sabea me curia ure noa ure lia cheque ne bea ma colo ore ne bota pico cucumai e pepe cuta e che lema robo bobo bobo cosemasana.
For I have stretched out my hand to you, saith the Spirit. But every time you ignore me, but now turn to me. Turn to me. Let me help you defeat your enemies. Oh, that Israel hearkened unto me. I would have quickly overcame all of their enemies, saith the Spirit. Help, let me help you overcome these enemies within so that you will triumph over the enemies without, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit now wants to minister to us. Have need of healing. There's joy in the air. Receive it. Joy and peace. And believe. The power of God is present to heal, deliverance. Just bind the devil by whatever name it is and receive your healing, receive your deliverance. But now go back and fill up that heart with more of the word. Walk more in the love of God. So you'll be unstoppable. Father, we thank you because in your presence there is fullness of joy. And upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. Your people shall possess their possession. Lord, everything that is holding back their people and their liberty, we come against it under the covering of our fathers. We break that yoke in the name of Jesus. And we send the word of deliverance, the word of encouragement, the word of healing, the word of supply, the word of peace.